each other with a planned pass, which is why these buggies are staggered.
Oh, it looks like Short Circuit was going a little bit to the left there.
He's choosing his own path. It's fine. They don't have lane violations for this.
Here's some cowbell out on the course.
We got the Hill 2 transition. Oh, the Hill 2's going.
Yeah, Hill 2 really boosting. Again, Hill 1 taking it easy so that they can make this pass work.
Looks like Short Circuit's a little bit held up at the top of Hill 1.
We're not sure quite what's happening there, so I'm not sure if the pass is going to happen.
Let's see, I mean...
They're moving, okay.
There goes Short Circuit. Looks like they were waiting for some form of approval from the truck. And look at that, pretty...
Nando's pretty, having a pretty good roll so far.
Yeah. Nice turn and correction there.
But yeah, definitely with the robotic buggies, you can see like some minor corrections just from the autonomous driving.
Really an interesting feat of engineering there.
Oh, right. No!
Looks like Nan has come to a stop in the chute.
I don't know. Well, we're going to have to wait until the follow truck catches up so that hopefully we can get a little 2.5 so that they can get the rest of the way through. But currently, Nan has been stopped for some reason. I'm not sure if it's just lost momentum or brakes. Or it looks like we got someone in Robo to keep pushing.
Oh, and there's the pass. Short circuit.
So it did pass.
Yeah, the pass was successful.
Looks like it's also losing some momentum, so we might need some
help. Might need a second pusher down there, about a 2-minute stop sign time.
Oh, no.
Somebody might have to jump out of the follow car and give it a little bit of a hill 2.5.
Yeah.
And you're listening here on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3. crawling towards the chute. Has not stopped
yet.
Yeah,
still moving.
Looks like it might be trying to take a detour over to Phipps.
But still going. I'm not quite sure what happened to Nan since we now see the truck. Might be behind.
Nan might still be standing.
Let's see,
there.
The camera person.
Oh, he's on the sidewalk.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
On the sidewalk.
Oh, looks like it's...
Yeah, the bollard line,
looks like it's picking up some speed again.
I'm honestly, like... Yeah, fun... Like, they don't need flags because they don't need, like, an indicator. But I remember... There we go! Through the chute.
Oh, there's our Hill 3 pickup.
You know exactly where to be.
Your Hill 2.5. Coming in deep there. 3 minutes, 20 seconds here. And, you know, they did them themselves, right? They started this one a little slow. So, really, not a bad time.
Yeah, it's
being
still
shown here, given they kind of paused at Hill 1 for 20 seconds.
Yeah, given the pause, and, like, I'm genuinely impressed that it didn't need an extra shelf. But, so, like... Good for like the bearings and the wheel quality that it was able to keep that momentum up.
Yeah. Nice transition from Hill 3 to Hill 4.
That's a tough Hill 3. That's a lot of.
Yeah, that's a lot of. That's like twice the length of a normal Hill 3.
Rubble buggies are usually a little bit lighter than the average buggy with a human in it, though. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
Yeah, they do their best to weigh it down, but it's still not quite human weight. But yeah, I remember during a Rolls last year when they first started going, there were already some flags. Because Robo Baggies roll before the sun comes up because they don't really need the sun. Oh, Hill 5 is moving. But basically, there was already flaggers down in the location, and they saw a buggy moving fast enough and flagged for Robo Buggy, and they were just, like, losing it at the fact that they thought it was, like, a human buggy.
Yeah.
And 446 there will not be a course record, but nice to see them getting around there. Some interesting stuff. Obviously, I guess the pass did happen, probably not
yeah,
as they intended
the
it to.
The pass happened not as quite as orchestrated, but it still occurred. Yeah, this is the first two Robo Buggy heat, I think.
Yeah,
Good for
so
them.
So history has been made.
Absolutely.
Yep, and I think we're going to pass it off the mic to someone else now.
All right, thank you so much.
Sweet, awesome. Well, thank you for joining. Cruising right along here. We will be transitioning over to the women's races. Congratulations to Pika, setting a course record with the top time on the all-gender heat there. SDC taking second place. And welcoming in a new team to join me here. Again, these are the finals today. Obviously rained out yesterday, so whatever time you get is your time for 2024. It is all on the line here today. And getting the new team swapped in here as we will be getting underway with women's races shortly. 11 total heats, potential for some rerolls depending on how things go. It was nice to see on the all-gender side. It was a very very clean race, no rerolls. You always love to see that. So we'll be moving through with that in just a moment. A lot of storylines on the women's side. SDC coming back after the disqualification. They would love to get a victory. CIA been oh so close for a couple years and just haven't pulled it together. Maybe this is the year. Spirit looking for a three-peat. DG, bit of a dark horse this year, but they've looked really good. Where will they end up maybe with a podium? So a lot of narratives as, yeah, we have our new announced team in. If y'all want to go ahead and introduce yourselves.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name's Bobby Chen. I was in CIA in the 2016-19. Nice to be here.
And I'm Brian Arsham, class of 2008. I was AE Pi, and I'm, you know, happy to be here once again with you, Bobby, and you, Will. And I think in the shoot we got someone as
it
well,
is
right?
In the shoot. Is it Ben? Your voice is sounding especially smooth today, Ben, if I may say. Yeah. We had fun. I was going down with some of the stories, but what jumps out to you as some of the big narratives here, things to look out for people in these women's races?
Yeah, I think that covers a lot. I was just saying, these are some really fast all-gender races this morning. I think that there's a significant jump in the time since last year, and that's really great for the students.
Yeah, I think for me, it's, you know, this year, you're looking at SDC coming back. I mean, what do they have? They were the dominant women's team. But they had a DQ in 2022 for a five-second violation. Last year, obviously, the organizational DQ. It's exciting to see, listening to the podcast, I think, Will, you talked to the leadership of SDC this year. They basically rebuilt the organization from scratch. I think the buggies are the same, and Bane is going to be out today with its nice gold windshield. But it's interesting to see, I think, a cultural change with them. I think a few of their women's pushers had left to go to other teams last year. They are back with SDC this year, so we'll see what they have. You got Spirit trying to come back with a three-peat. You got CIA, who seemed like they were the favorites last year. They're back with, I think, the fastest. Them and SDC are the two fastest times for Truck Weekend. Pika, I mean, the all-gender heat, they got that buggy ramped up. I mean, they're flying. DG, like you said, I think another dark horse, maybe SIGEP. SIGEP, which they've been out all spring. They're rolling super fast in their buggies with Kraken and Hydra. You got Fringe, Apex, one I'm excited to see, SAE, the first time they've had a women's team since 2018. So just a lot of excitement here, and honestly, don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think this year especially, right, with only having one day of racing, just makes things very wide open. I'm hoping the remaining races will be as clean and as smooth as we had in the all-gender side, where, good driving, no need for rerolls or anything like that. But at the same time, you know, as the pressure mounts, as it gets later in the day, as the buggies get faster, people push it just a little too much, there's a risk that maybe they end up costing themselves.
Yep, and then, I mean, one thing, you know, Pika, I think, maybe struggled to get their buggy out on time for that first heat. You know, they have the top time right now, but hopefully they'll learn from that with the all-gender heat for the women's and men's, make sure they're out slightly quicker just to avoid any chance of a five-second DQ.
Yeah, because as of right now, you can see the leaderboard up there. Pika, new course record, 231.29. We will see if that stands with the five-second violation. SDCA as well, initially setting the new course record at 236.27. CIAA, 254.65. SAEA taking fourth, 256, so nice to see them here. Spirit A, 308. Fringe A, 317. And last year's champions, Apex A, finding themselves on the bottom of the leaderboard, 319 here in the all-gender. But a really nice showing here. Good to see seven teams out and rolling for that majority of the field. And we'll be getting underway shortly now on the women's side. Things moving according to schedule here. It's for those of you tuning in on WRCT or CMU-TV or streaming or whatever. Still a little chilly out, a little breezy, but by and large, it's sunny, a pretty pleasant day, and it's only going to get pleasanter if you want to come out and stand and watch some of these races in person. It's a beautiful day for buggy.
Pleasant everywhere except the booth where the sun is like right in my eyes right now, but...
Nice and warm. All right, that's something that you need to factor into your heat selection. The direction of the wind at the time that your heat's going to be. You want to get a nice back tailwind when you're going down the free roll and up the back hills, whatever you can take.
And one thing I think we'll see a couple times, right, is the lane preference in heat selection this year changed a little bit where, because of some of the construction and potholes and whatnot, what is it, typically lane two is
usually
preferred?
It would be lane one.
Lane one.
You would see all the eight teams down lane one.
Yeah, but this year there was an issue down near the start of lane one. I think the city of Pittsburgh patched it. They patched it poorly, and then it turned into a bit of a sinkhole. Not quite as bad as the classic Pittsburgh bus sinkhole, but still, you know, a little bit sunken. So they repatched it, so it's better and rollable now, but that's not necessarily the best lane to be in, or at least based on the heat selection, maybe Fringe, Pika, SDC don't think it's necessarily the best lane to be in. But CIA, trying it anyway. Spirit trying it anyway, so it's pretty split, it looks like, this year.
Yeah, that's definitely, that heat's a ways away, number 10, but CIAA, DGA, I think is going to be an interesting one from everything I've been hearing. Here we will have CIAC Fringe B coming up in this race to kick things off here on the women's side.
And there you see Fringe B's new build. This is Fringe's new build rolling for their B team. This is Blackbird, their 2024 build. They're one of only four teams on the course to build a new buggy this year. We'll see three of those buggies out on race day. This is the first of them. We'll also see CIA's new build Goldfinch rolling for their A team later. And then the exhibition heat for the other robotic team, Atlas. Atlas came out with a new buggy, Monaco, this year. So we've got a new robotic buggy that we'll see for the first time on the course later today.
Teams getting prepped, getting ready to come out here. For those of you who may just be joining us, we are minutes away from the start here of the first women's race. First off, we will look at CIA Women's C. The driver is Julia Jazz Liu. Hill 1 is Rong Rong Wang. Hill 2, Victoria Nguyen. Hill 3, Jushna Einagar. Hill 4, Summer Sun. And Hill 5, Isabel Murdoch.
Summer Sun, a perfect name
now,
for
today.
What a
great name. Wow, I got fired up on that one. And we also have Fringe Women's B. The driver is Arini Bargava. Hill 1, Ella David. Hill 2, Kirsten Rioveros. Hill 3, Kendall Tatum. Hill 4, Maddie Huang. And Hill 5, Catherine Kress.
And Blackbird, really a nice paint job for Fringe this year with their new buggy. We'll see Spirit later. They also have beautiful new paint jobs. Goldfinch, also a beautiful paint job that we'll see a little later. Even SDC's new buggy, we won't see it today, but it's competing in design competition, and it was out at Buggy Showcase on Thursday, if people were there. Even that's a nice new one. So everyone who decided to paint this year did a really good job with their buggies.
Always fun to see the team's personalities in the paint jobs. You know, for those of you who may just be joining us, you see kind of that sling right there. As the teams prepare the buggies to go onto the course, they'll treat the wheels, heat the wheels potentially, and you want to wait until the last possible second to get those buggies or those wheels down onto the ground so that everything you've done to the wheels can stay intact for the race and not just sitting there. So,
and you also want to make sure that you don't personally touch the wheels, which could be problematic for your own hands. So having the sling there is very helpful. Something that Fringe hasn't historically used. Usually they just carry out the buggies by hand. But it's probably more comfortable for the driver also to be carried in a sling where you don't have to have people awkwardly carrying from the front to back. The buggies tip back and forth. Not the most comfortable ride for a driver making it to the line.
Is it a fring? I'm trying to figure out how to fringify swing.
And we don't see CAAC yet. I believe they're driving Equinox, which is a 2015 build, if I remember correctly. Looks like they're on their way now.
Got 30 seconds until the start of the race. And again, what caused some potential concern for Pika there in the all-gender is the buggy does have to be down on the ground, all the mechanics cleared 5 seconds before the start of the race. Looks like they were in maybe a little too close.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready, set,
and the races are underway. First heat of these finals, 2024 CIAC coming out to a slight lead here over Fringe B. Really impressive, just the depth of CIA that they built over these past few years. Just a really, really strong roster, top to bottom, as they've separated a bit as they get ready for the 1-2 transition.
Looking at like a 25, 26 second hill one for CIAC and about a 30 second hill one for Fringe B.
A little bit of a sloppy transition, 1-2 for CIA, but looks like they've gotten it back together here. And
that's a nice push.
Good shove into there.
You got about based on the clock, you got about a 38 second crosswalk time. And we'll see as the clock starts rolling again as they head down the free roll.
Yeah, and again, as we are starting off these women's races, we probably have some new faces out here watching. There is a driver in there, a very small person, lying on their belly with a very small steering wheel, controlling those buggies, and that's what's making these turns. One thing we always like to talk about here is the stop sign time, so we see a minute 10 there. That's a good point of comparison just to see how fast teams are relative to one another as we approach the chute.
Coming out nice and clean with Equinox, driving smooth, taking that chute flying. And here we got Fringe right behind them with their new buggy Blackbird with those nice invisible fairings. Scrolling along, CIA through cleanly, no slips, no slides. Fringe coming in, taking that gust of wind like a champ. Rolling on through, slow down a little bit there in the chute, but coming out into hill three pretty clean. Going to get a nice roll up there. CIA now moving on to hill four.
And a decent pickup there for the hill three pusher for CIA as they're moving along pretty nicely here into the 3-4 transition.
And getting here for that 3-4. And Fringe, you can still see them in the picture. CIA looking to put up a pretty good time right here for a C team as they're coming here into this 3-4 transition.
Yeah, it's looking, I mean, this is a very solid C team time. I mean, if they can go sub 3 minutes with a C team, I mean, you're looking at probably like a 230, 235-ish winning time this year. And here, they're coming up hill five. I mean, they got a good shot at breaking 3 minutes.
This is great. Yeah, this is Isabel Murdoch on hill five. It's a 7-8-time pusher for CIA, so PhD student.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I've heard that name pushing like hill two from before COVID time. So
yeah. The continuity.
Yeah. Let's see, you're coming up to that finish line, hand on the push bar, crossing over 253, 267.
That's a great time for a C team. Wow. Way to go, CIA. as Fringe coming up here on Hill 5. Got Blackbird approaching the finish line. There you can see the crowd already starting to form out here at 9:15 a.m. on Saturday.
And always impressed the amount of people willing and able to wake up for this race. But where else would you want to be? Fringe B crossing the finish line, 321.983. Nice, clean race from the start. Really good stuff there out of CIA. Very impressed by them. That's a nice C-team time right there. And, you know, the theme of just clean, good racing continuing so far for today.
Yeah, the depth of CIA has really increased back in my day. we had this issue of getting people even out to fill out the C and the D teams, where it's like, oh, you know, we've got some drivers out on the D teams. We're like begging them, please, you know.
And we'll have to see once that CIA C time comes in, because their course record is a 2:51.24 set last year. So they're right at that mark this year. We'll see if they break it or not. But
it looks like it was a 2:53.18, so just behind their team record.
Which is perfectly understandable. Yeah. Last year was like, if you remember, if you were here or watching at home, it was so warm that day that sweepstakes actually required the teams to remove the hatches from the buggies in between heats because drivers were getting overheated inside the buggy. Today, not
so much. Yeah,
the buggy drivers might be the warmest people on the course by being in those things.
I was going to say, I could... Yeah, I wouldn't mind be sitting in a buggy as the sun goes away. Again, momentarily, a little breeze picks up. I did also hear got some insider info on some conjecture that potentially why RoboBuggy stopped. Apparently, there's some joggers on the course who were, like, not clearing and being a bit... I was trying to figure out a nice way to say it, but a bit rude. And so there may have been some issues with that causing them to stop.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
ornery. That was the word. I was trying to find ornery, and then I was going to say obnoxious, and I was going to say other things. I have to talk a lot today, guys.
And it makes sense that the robotic buggies would stop for that. I think that's one of the rules of AI is, you know, robots aren't supposed to harm humans. So if there's any chance of that, even if the humans are being a bit ornery towards the robots, and the robots should have the right of way, it's better not to injure other people.
Tesla, hire these robo-buggy people. I had to give one Tesla dig in. I didn't have to. So we are cruising right along here in these women races. The sun is coming out. It is beautiful today. Spirit B, Apex C will be this next race.
And it looks like the times from the first heat, you got CIAC with a 2:53.18 and a Fringe B with a 3:21.92. Good for a first and second right now, because we've only had one heat.
Yeah, there will be 11 heats on the women's side, then potential re-rolls. Let's go ahead and we can run through these rosters real quick now that we have them up on the screen here. So Spirit Women's B, the driver is Nans Zong. Hill 1 is Naya Robinson. Hill 2, Sarah Gator. Hill 3, Sophia Familar. Hill 4, Kelly McDowell. And Hill 5, Sophie Liu. And Apex Women's C, trying to be able to read this through the glare. The sun is really coming out. The driver is Isabella Sirza. Hill 1 is Mia Pogak. Hill 2, Aviva Young. Hill 3, Kat Carl. Hill 4, Nagy Blair. And Hill 5, Riona Duncan.
So one thing to note about the rosters here, and you'll see this today, a majority of the drivers are actually new drivers this year. And I think Nans in Zookier for Spirit was one of the most frequent drivers on the course this year. I believe they had about 60-something total rolls over the course of the weekends. 65 rolls in Zook this year, so very experienced, even though they're a new driver. and we got a lot of them on the course this year.
And so far, the driving has been pretty sterling. Haven't really
Nine,
seen
eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, ready, set.
Looking buggies that you have out there. I love both these paint jobs.
Oh, yeah. Scorch, new last year. Zook, the new paint job. You know, Spirit repaints every year, and they did a spectacular job this year. This is our first chance to see Zook on the course.
And doing a spectacular job pushing up the hill, looking quite fast. Apex, a fair bit behind. You would expect maybe that level of separation between a B and a C team, the 1-2 transition right there by Spirit B.
And that's a 24.5 hill one for Spirit, and a 32.5 for Apex.
And a nice deep shove there for Spirit B right now. The time to beat 2:53.18.
Coming across here at Westinghouse Pond, crossing the street.
And nice and even line there.
See how they take that stop sign. Spirit B, one of those teams, you know, hope maybe could challenge for, you know, lower end of the top 10, depending on how things shake out.
And Spirit's had their buggies, again, on Truck Weekend, rolling pretty fast. You know, you got a 110 here as they're approaching the first flagger.
On track to CIA's time. Coming through the transition flag right now. Nice, keeping it nice and smooth. A little wide on the side, coming in nice and closer, hitting that shoot flag. A very early shoot flag for Zook and Nance here. Taking it smooth. Oh, a little slipping, but not a problem. Not a problem at all. Holding it smooth right through the chute. Coming up into hill three here. Here's Scorch coming through with Isabel. Coming through, no sliding. Keeping all her speed through. Carrying it through and keeping it nice and tight as she turns back into hill three here as well.
And that's a great shot proving that, yes, in fact, there are humans inside these buggies. You see coming up hill three, a great shot of the driver inside Zook. One of the nice things about Spirit's windshields, you can always see the drivers very clearly.
And good hill three pickups from both.
Yep.
Smooth transition right there, 3-4 for Spirit. They are flying up that hill. Hill four, Kelly McDowell putting in some work and really seeing some separation here. It was a bit tighter kind of around hill three, but the quality of the B team pushers really separating themselves here as we get close to the 4-5 transition.
And once again, coming up here, one thing to note, if you're new to buggy, one thing that the pushers have to make sure they do on hill five is they have to be touching the buggy as it crosses the finish line. So you'll see hill five pushers usually won't let the buggy get too far away from them, whereas other hills will give a much bigger shove and try and catch up, because you want to make sure it doesn't take off on you and make it so that you can't get to it ever again.
Let's see. Looks like they're going to be a little bit slower than CIAC coming up here. Hands on the push bar, 2:59.775. Apex C still coming in here. Looks like that's their hill five.
Yep, they're coming up hill five now. In case you're wondering, a good way to tell is that little stone wall on the right side means you're on hill five. Not always. There's sometimes a spot where you can be on hill five and not have that, but a good indicator that you're coming up to the end.
And hands on the push bar there, 3:25.
And then
if we could just have a reminder, please do not go onto the course. Just a friendly reminder for everybody, do not go onto the course for your own and the driver's safeties. Please stay off the course during the races, or kind of always, unless you're authorized to. Good showing there from both teams.
And then just again, if you're new to buggy, you know, once they finish the race, both buggies will go down towards the bottom of hill one and do something called drop tests, where the buggy is released, is from a standstill, is released, and then the driver, once they reach a certain point on the road, is told to brake. They have to press the brakes, and the buggy has to stop before the next line. If the buggy goes beyond that, it means that the brakes weren't working properly and they're DQ'd for a drops failure. The buggy is then told to release the brakes again and reapply the brakes one time just to make sure that it's not a one-time use thing. This is all for driver safety, to make sure that the brakes were working when the buggy was on the course. During the rest of the year, when there are practices in the morning, they do these brake tests at the beginning before rolls start. But on race day, you want to make sure that it's actually working, so it doesn't give them time to adjust anything as they're coming after the race. So there we see Zook passing drops. You saw the person holding the sweatshirt. That's the flag to indicate that the to indicate to the driver where to stop. So where to hit the brakes, and then it's the next line is the one they have to stop by. So here we're seeing Apex of Scorch go through the same test. Every buggy that races has to do this. In fact, even Robo Buggy has trained their automatic driver to pass this test. Of course, it's assistant judge Bethany Bauer, I think, is the one running drops, the assistant head judge, and it looks like both of those passed. But we'll you know, get the final word after chairman's later today. Here we're getting a replay of the start of this heat.
Yeah, so far, I don't know, clean racing, nothing blazing fast, but anything jumping out to you so far through these two heats?
I saw some pretty good pickup on Hill 3 from Spirit in this heat, and that's something that's not very easy to do. It's when you're watching on the Jumbotron, you see the buggy's rolling up, why are they running behind it instead of catching up? It can be really hard to get an angle on how fast they're moving exactly, how fast you need to accelerate. And that's where a lot of these practices during free-rolls practices during the year come in handy. But usually on race day, yeah, people are excited. The buggies are rolling faster, and it can be hard.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely seen people get smoked on that Hill 3 pickup before.
Absolutely.
That's a great pickup there. Wow. Thanks for the replay.
And, you know, one of the things here, again, the later... The better teams usually choose to go later in the day, so that's why you'll start to see A teams more as we go on. That's why here you're watching Spirit B versus Apex C. But these early heats are, one, great for the pushers. They get out, you know, get some fans, get some adrenaline going. It's great for the mechanics. It gives them a little practice time before they get to their main buggy, the one that's really got the best chance of winning it all. And it gives drivers experience. Like I said, this year, I know Nans was new. I don't recall if Scorch's driver has been is new this year. I will pull up that information. But congratulations to them on getting through an official role on race day. It's a great day. The crowd's out. The sun is out. It is warming up here a bit.
Yeah.
This jacket might be coming off soon, to be honest.
I was going to say, and here we go, the SIGAP Women's A. SIGAP, perpetually an interesting team, so we will see how they do here. This is their A team up there. The driver, Elizabeth Lee. Hill 1, Emma Kolbida. Hill 2, Nia Boren. Hill 3, Savannah.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ready, set.
And that's tough there. That looks like that's probably going to be a 5-second violation.
It seems like it. I think that caught all of us a bit off guard. But SIGAP, you know, you still got to put in the time, still get the time. It's still a fun day, and you never know what might happen here. So you gotta keep going, and they're pushing pretty well here.
Yeah, Hill 1 really coming out fast and furious. Nothing else motivated by that, just trying to put up a great time. Looks like that was the fastest Hill 1 we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think that was around like a 23, 24 second.
And a lot of separation there between themselves and Fringe C as the shove goes into the free roll.
Yep, and Fringe C not that far behind. We don't see them on camera yet, but they will soon be there. As Kraken, SIGAP's 2013 build, which was not out much this year, but came out a lot towards the end, they managed to get two different drivers qualified in this buggy. But this is their veteran driver, Elizabeth, taking this at a minute 8, a minute 9 stop sign time, which I think is the fastest we've seen today.
Yeah, I'd say about 2-3 seconds cut down as they go in the chute. A lot of momentum there. Fringe C passing at about minute 15 as we go to the chute.
down into the chute, cracking, and Liz coming through nice and cleanly, hitting that chute flag, taking a wide turn through, swinging the tail out just a little bit, but holding that line nice and close to the bales on the inside, keeping it nice and short as Baltic follows through, coming through also nice and clean, no slips and slides though, fringe characteristically, keeping it clean and smooth.
Yeah, really, really nice chute turn.
Yep, Sig Epp with a classic inside chute line. They tend to take that inner hay bale pretty close. And a decent pickup there by Sig Epp on hill three and going to the 3-4 transition. And on truck weekend, the one thing, this Sig Epp hill four pusher, and I apologize, I don't remember her name, was consistently putting up the fastest hill four time of any women's pusher.
Eliana Sabo.
There you go. So I would expect this time to be another one that's very, very good.
Yeah, looking like they have a good chance to be the top time of the day here as they get that 4-5 transition. We'll have to wait and see till after Chairman's about that 5-second violation. You really would hate to see that, but a strong showing from Sig Epp. Also, shout out to them. They did give me pronunciations. So I always appreciate the teams that give me pronunciations. And here we go. The time to beat right now is a 2:53.18. This is not going to be 14 hours. We'll wait to see what the official time is there, but Sig Epp looking likely to have the top time of the day. We are awaiting that to come through. The Fringe C coming a bit behind, but a good smooth race for them as well. For a C team, that shoot turn especially was as good as we've seen all day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a good rollout, that hill three for Sig Epp. Actually, I thought got burned a bit there.
Yeah, a little bit. I think and that's the thing. Sig Epp has had last weekend and well, I guess not so far today. I guess I'm just speculating based on last weekend. But they've figured something out where their buggies were rolling significantly faster last weekend during truck weekend than they had been the rest of the year. And it looked like it again today.
Well. So nice stuff from them there, trying to see if we can get official times. I know we didn't have the timer up there. Probably good enough to move Sig Epp into first for now, but probably not a time that, is really going to be threatening for an overall top time. And on top of that, a very likely 5-second violation. Again, the buggy needs to be set down with all mechanics clear 5 seconds before the beginning of the race. Look like they came out a little bit late there. The start of the race even snuck up on us. Yeah.
If you're new to the buggy, you might be wondering, why are they trying to cut the time so close? Why don't they just bring out the buggy a whole minute early and sit it down on the ground? And the reason has to do with the wheel treatment that many of the teams do, either heat or chemical treatments of their wheels. And basically, the longer you can spend between getting that on the wheels and getting onto the course, the shorter you can do, then you have more treatment for when you're actually racing. So you really want to be there at exactly the moment, drop off the buggy, and have them race immediately.
Ooh, that is not a good result. We'll wait to see something official from Chairman's later. But that line that the two front wheels are over is the line you have to stop before in order to pass drops. So
there may be a DQ at the start and at the end. Unfortunate to see for Sig Epp there. It makes you wonder even if it was something mechanical they were working on.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things like maybe just whatever was going on in the truck, you know, didn't quite get it perfect. And that one little thing is all it takes to take a race day from the best result to the worst result.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too. It's interesting, right? They have a little bit of time before the men's race, but I assume that same buggy's going to roll for their A-team?
Yes.
So, I mean, have you both been, like, in the truck leading up to a race? Like, what is that chaos like, kind of preparing the buggy and getting it ready and all that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. It is chaotic. You've got a bunch of people. People are shouting at each other. And in particular, with getting out to the races, you don't necessarily have a good view of the clock that's counting down, or people may not be even saying it. So you constantly need updates from the outside world to say, you know, here's what time you are, here's how much time you have, and make sure you're on your timeline for your prep.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and it's even more for an organization that is doing some, you know, either major wheel treating or really has a chance to win. You know, my organization was never expecting to get a top time. But even, I mean, we had a run of years where we it was 5 second DQ after 5 second DQ, and we weren't even doing anything special in the truck. It was just we miscalculated how long it would take to get the buggy out of the truck. So there's all sorts of stuff that can go on behind the scenes where, you know, things are timed to the second for some of these teams. And, you know, one little hiccup, one person tripped while running to get
and
coffee.
You can see right here a little bit of that replay with how close that was. You know, it looked like they probably failed drops as well.
But, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things, and it's always tough, right, because this is such a unique sport in the sense that you practice all year and you really only have this race day. And it's all make or break, and especially this year, right? There's not even preliminaries.
Yep, exactly. That's why, and that's the thing. You know, one of the benefits of having 2 days is it gives teams the practice for this. Like, I mean, if you look back, I don't believe Sig Ep had an all gender team, if I remember correctly. So this was their first run of the day, and it's their women's A. It's tough to have one of your A teams be the first role that you have in a day because you're not ready. You're not necessarily prepped and ready to go.
And we got CIAD and SAEA here rolling Barbie pretty close here up to the start of the race.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready, set.
It's impressive. They've got a team out for the first time, like I said earlier, since 2018. This is their first women's team. The team has been through a lot this year. They had to get Barbie repaired between the week before truck weekend and truck weekend, but they did a great job. They got the buggy and driver qualified. They got this buggy out here, and let me tell you, that hill one time about 23 seconds is the fastest we've seen today.
Yeah, very nice.
Deep shot.
And here they go into the free roll Barbie.
And there you saw CIAD's Roadrunner with its curved handlebar being shoved into the free roll as well.
Do you ever think about driving Barbie coming across here, looking at that stop sign time? It looks like SAE may be pushing for the top time of the day. Sig Ep A, an unofficial time of 2:44.72, but again, likely DQs on either end as Barbie crosses at minute 5.
That's the fastest we've seen. I think Sig Ep was at a minute 8, minute 9, so this is definitely the fastest we've seen so far today. With CIAD with a 1:13 stop sign, that's pretty good too.
Them. That's almost on pace with their C team.
On pace with the C team as Barbie comes into the chute. Carly driving smooth in Barbie, taking that chute turn nice and easy, keeping it very close to the bears on the inside, taking a little wide coming out. Roadrunner with Amber coming in just behind, turning a little deeper, taking a little wider in the chute, trying to conserve that energy and taking it then back into hill 3 with a nice tight turn on the last bet there.
And that rollout was maybe a little more than the hill 3 pusher was expecting, and because SAE's
looks
got
like
that
the same
going.
Same on CIA.
And CIA
catching up here,
closing in on a bit of room right there, and that's what happens with the tough rollout. You'd imagine the A team 4 and 5 will get some separation, but CIAD not letting up.
And you know, CIA historically, their D team on the men's and women's side have been their mechanics. They've been wearing formal wear, but I think CIA goes so deep this year that this may actually just be a regular set of women's pushers.
Yeah, and Zia Reed here, really nice job on hill 4, getting that separation as close as things were kind of around hill 3. Now a lot of room in between, but it looks like SAE maybe lost a little bit of time there on that hill 3 off of the pace of what was looking to be a very fast time.
They've got a pacer here on the right side.
Just
a warning, if you're an alum or someone who's not a part of the team, do not run alongside the buggy. That is a DQ or potential DQ for a team, so you don't want to be running alongside in between the trucks as SAE comes up here towards the finish line.
And let's see, hand on the push bar, 2:52.625.
That would put them
right ahead of CIAC.
Yep, tentatively in second place. as CAAD comes up here with a wow. very, very three, strong yeah. time.
3:09. And that puts them ahead of Fringe C, Fringe B, Apex C. The depth of CIA, tremendously impressive.
And one thing to note, you know, we have the times we're showing for SIGEP and Fringe C are unofficial times. SIGEP A with a 244.72 unofficially. My assumption here, and maybe Will, you might have some word, but I think there may have been a bit of a timer. Glitch or site malfunction?
Yeah, I understand there's a little bit of an issue with the timer, so they will make those official. So yeah, just the SIGEP A, Fringe C are unofficial. Everything else, I believe, is official.
And again, for those who don't know, there is later this afternoon, there is a chairman's meeting. The judges and sweepstakes go through a tape review all the transitions, all the timing. They review everything, you know, any protests, any potential DQs. They go through it all. Then there's a chairman's meeting where sweepstakes announces what the official results are. So all these times that we're giving, everything is unofficial until that meeting. But the final results will be announced at award ceremony. So if you're at award ceremony, I don't know what time it is, but the teams will get their trophies. If they have won, as we're seeing replays here of Barbie going down the free roll and into the chute. A very nice chute turn there for Barbie.
Well, now, Brian, this is the second time you've mentioned something that you don't know where to find or what it is, but I think there's a place we can find it. I've been using this great site, cmubuggy.org, that has all of the rosters to help me out, and it turns out it also does have when those the award. And it looks like I'm cutting out a little bit.
Well, there you go. It's cmubuggy.org. It has all the information, including the leaderboard. If we're not telling you what the time's enough. You can check there. They're all there.
Yeah, a lot of great info there. Getting that replay. So again, looking at the leaderboard, SAEA did move in a second to 252.53, but SIGEP A unofficially in first at 244.72, but assuming a solid likelihood they will get DQ'd, but that is not my call to make. I just tell you the weather. All right, so we'll go ahead and try and get some of these rosters introduced here. In this next one, we're going to have Cygnu A and Fringe D. Cygnu, definitely an interesting team, just in terms of always really great buggies. Nice to see them rolling out a women's team. First off, we'll introduce Fringe D. The driver is Winona Wang. Hill 1, Sophia Bernardo. Hill 2, Julie Olson. Hill 3, Mia Goins. Hill 4, pardon me, Marissa Tazi. And Hill 5, Cindy Jiang. And we also have Cygnu A. The driver is Liam Mellinger. Hill 1, Alana Frederick. Hill 2, Kate Hansen. Hill 3, Bryn Sklar. Hill 4, Emily Fan. And Hill 5, Kate Bergen.
And Cygnu, you know, historically, or at least within the past 20, 30 years, they have one of, if not the fastest buggies on the course. Their issue has always been pushers, but I get the sense that their women's push team this year might be pretty solid. So if they can match what Jaeger can do, because Jaeger is definitely rolling as either the fastest or the second fastest buggy on the course, and there you see it. I learned this week, if you know things about buggy and you've seen Cygnu buggies before, Jaeger doesn't really look like the traditional Cygnu buggy. I've been force-fed the information by multiple Cygnu alums that it is, in fact, the same mold, just maybe a different front end and maybe a different back end. And here we see Fringe's Burnout. Burnout coming out in lane 2. You see both teams holding up their buggies. Fringe D slightly off balance, maybe, on holding it up. One of the sides might want to lift a little higher, but I don't know. The driver might be okay in there.
The straps, it keeps you farther away from the buggy. It's harder to see that.
I hope the driver's okay, but it looks like we're on the countdown now.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready, set!
So they're looking to claim the top.
They see that little ridge on the top of Jaeger, which is kind of the sign of this being the same mold. That's what I've been told. But, Cygnew coming up very fast. You expect separation here. It's an A team versus a D team.
But yeah, this is pretty fast hill one. Going to be right in line with SAE there, maybe half a second.
Yeah, at about 23 and a half, so right in line with SAE.
And SAE, they were looking really fast and then lost some speed, it seemed like, in the free roll or the shoot or something like that.
Yeah, which is not something I expect to see here with Jaeger. Barbie, again, you know, Cygnew knows what they're doing when it comes to rolling. They got their wheels down to a science. And here, I mean, we'll see the stop sign time, but I expect it to be very fast. It looks like it's moving right now, so.
Yeah, it's a really nice free roll right here by Cygnew.
Staying very wide of that curb, though. A lot of distance that they're making up, coming back around the corner, hitting that stop sign time,
108.
About a 108, so a little off of SAE's time, but there's still room to make some of it up.
Hitting that transition flag, taking it nice and close, though, on the transition after a wide turn earlier. Coming up on the chute with Jaeger, spinning in nice and quick, looking smooth, bouncing around a little bit, but holding it true. Nice and straight coming out. Burnout coming down from fringe, taking that shoot flag, the wind blowing the flag all over the place. Jaeger now screaming up the hill, 3 blowing out the pusher.
Burnout coming in nice and smooth. That's a deep pickup right there by hill 3.
Yeah, that buggy went a lot further, I think, than they were expecting, and maybe got an unfortunate wind moment when I think a stick got run over by one of the wheels, so that may have caused it a bit of time as well.
Yeah, you can feel the gusts are really picking up here, and that's one of those things you hate to see during, you know, your specific race or whatever. Just today, the weather very moody, depending on the sun's out or not out or the winds are picking up, and that has a very tangible effect on these races here.
Yeah, but as they're coming up into the 4-5 transition here at about a 2:20, so this is going to be right in line with the other top times so far today.
Yeah, and these are, you know, probably pushing for somewhere on the leaderboard, hopefully a top 10 finish here. Fringe D trying to get side of them, but Cygnew A far ahead, and is Hill 5 really going to be pushing in here. 2:44 Segep's time, that's on top, 2:52 SAE A. And let's see here, Cygnew, hand on the push bar, 2:49.381. So that will move them up into second place. Sigap still with the unofficial top time of a 2:44, crossing over 3 minutes here. Fringe D coming through as well.
I feel a little bad for that pusher. The sun has briefly hidden behind a cloud and the wind has picked up. It's cold. I can't imagine not having full sleeves on.
Yeah.
But at least she's moving around. Like sitting in a chair.
That's true. As she's coming up here to the finish line, looking at, you know, 3:25, 3:27, 3:29.44.
And nice for a D team. It's good to see that much depth on fringe. You know, one of those teams that really hasn't been on the top of the leaderboard, but
yep.
They do some very good stuff, some very interesting stuff. A great team to have out there. Always a major part of the community, so nice to see that they are rolling four teams deep on the women's side.
And one thing they do in particular, they build every year. I don't think people necessarily realize how important that is. Most students are here for 4 years. Maybe you have someone who's here for 5, but every student career is limited. And if you don't have that cycle of building every year, or, you know, some sort of frequency, it's very easy to lose that knowledge. I think, you know, COVID did a number on several teams in that regard, but Fringe built right before COVID. They built right after COVID. This Burnout was their 2022 build, but they build every year, and they keep that knowledge alive, whereas Jaeger was the first Cygnew that debuted last year. It's the first Cygnew build in 14 years.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, look, they did an excellent job with it. We just saw them put up the second place time so far behind SIGNEW's unofficial 244.72. SIGNEW A with a 249.35 officially, putting them in second right now ahead of SAEA.
Coming up next, we'll have Spirit C and Pika A. Awful early to be seeing Pika A, it feels like. But they've been a team, haven't quite figured out putting it together on the women's side the past few years, despite, you know, a really storied history there, some good buggies, and a team that will be potentially looking to play spoiler.
Yeah, they've again, going back to Truck Weekend, so we there were a bunch of alums out last weekend during Truck Weekend getting times on all the hills, the free roll, etc. So we do have a little bit of data a bit from Truck Weekend on how teams were rolling. That's not necessarily an indication of how they're going to roll this week or today, but that, you know, how they were doing last week. I mean, Pika had the second fastest hill one time. They had the second fastest free roll time. They're also coming off a fourth place finish last year, so I expect them to be very good here. I would expect Pika A's time to be the top of the leaderboard, at least through the next few heats.
Yeah, and this is the first time we're going to be seeing SDC today. Kind of weird not seeing SDC rolling several teams deep. This will just be their B team. They're only rolling an A and a B on both men's and women's.
Yep, and you know, that's a good point. SDC historically, again, just the dominant team of the 2010s and early 2020s. When they used to roll 3-4 deep, SDC B, there were a number of years where they were the second place team.
Yeah.
And again, looking at data on Truck Weekend, you know, saying Pika had the second fastest hill one, second fastest free rolls, we don't know exactly who the pushers were for these teams. We don't know if it's the race day makeup, but the I guess SDC is the following heat. This is Spirit C. Well, we'll talk more about SDC
right,
in the
Spirit
next heat.
Spirit C, Pika.
Apologies,
my
Spirit.
Bad. I cannot read. Spirit C going to be coming up here. The driver is Melina Castillo. Hill 1, Cindy Haynes. Hill 2, Mary Carney. Hill 3, Kat Ramage. Hill 4, Sharon Zhu. And Hill 5, Emily Song. And Pika A. The driver is Sue May Kaur. Hill 1, Piper Legati. Hill 2, Liv LaFond. Hill 3, Sophie Chow. Hill 4, Anisha Chintala. And Hill 5, Isha Nabison.
Several of these Pika women's pushers are part of the women's basketball team here. And I believe they've pushed for Pika in the past, and they've been pretty good. So I expect that again. And here you can see, after the all-gender heat, Pika already out on the line, holding up the buggy, making sure the wheels don't touch, while Spirit C and Visid, a C team, you don't necessarily need to hold it up, you're not necessarily treating the wheels as much, you don't expect that team to come in first, but they should still have a good...
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready, set!
We're going to be queen of the hill so far as we get to that 1-2 transition.
I got that at about 21 seconds.
Great time.
And here, again, you can see, we mentioned this earlier, Pika coming out of lane 2. This is the first of the eight teams that we're seeing coming out of lane 2. With a nice shove into the free roll as Banshee takes off.
Yeah, and Banshee looking really good there. Those Pika buggies always so nice, sleek, black. And just cruising right there through the free roll, getting nice and tight up to the curb there, leaving not a lot of space.
And this, again, for Pika, this is a rookie driver, Sue May. But she's got a bunch of experience in this buggy as well from the full year, actually, driving.
Yeah, really fast, about a minute 3 on the stop sign time, smoking.
That is the best we've seen today. Pika with their unusual flagger position, their standard position out since the lines were painted.
That very wide transition line, but then coming in nice and close for the shoot flag as Banshee's screaming down making little quick turns here and there, but otherwise smooth, nice and tight towards the bales on the inside. Keeping it close as Invisid coming in behind from Spirit. Turning nice and smooth here. Not losing any speed, keeping it all, keeping a little slide right at the tail end, but keeping it and holding it strong all the way into Hill 3.
Yeah, and it looked like a pretty deep pickup right there for Pika, trying to get eyes on it, but a lot of momentum coming out.
Yep, it's, we're already at the 3-4 transition, so I'm going to assume it was a good pickup, but it's, you know, a minute 50, we're looking at a solid time here for Pika so far.
Yeah, really nice race from Pike, trying to put it all together, play spoiler here on the women's side. They won men's gold last year, would love the trophy here on the women's side.
Exactly. Coming up here, 210, in the 4-5 transition, there's the shove to Hill 5.
And this Hill 5 is looking good, we're going to see, but Pika looking to have a pretty good shot at claiming the top time of the day. Had the top time in the all-gender with a potential 5-second violation, but let's see here what they can do on the women's side as they get close to the finish line.
A 244.72 is the time to beat right now, and it looks like they're going to do it.
And let's see here, now the push bar, 241.137. Nice time by Pika A. Moving up into the top spot.
Absolutely. And here's Spirit C, not far behind there on 05.
It would be nice to see if they could get a sub 3 minute. Looks like they might just be over.
Yep, coming up, but Spirit always has the adrenaline, has the enthusiasm out there, regardless of which of their teams it is.
And that's a nice time, 305.289 for their C team, ahead of Fringe C and Apex C, CIA C, though the top C team time so far, 253.18. Looking to get these official times, but seems safe to say Pika A will move to the top of the leaderboard. Probably not a winning time, one would guess, but definitely a placing time. The top six teams get trophies, yeah?
Top six get trophies, but I'll tell you what, they shaved a couple of seconds off of last year's time, and last year's was a fourth place finish, so it's definitely... Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily expect that to win, because you'd think like 235-ish is what you're targeting, but I mean, again, it's cold, it's windy, like 241 might be the time to beat.
Yeah, and right now it is over halfway through the heats here, 6 out of 11 down, as we see Pika right there going for the drop test. Nice race by them, really good front hills, I was very impressed by that.
Absolutely. As here we see the drops for Banshee. Uh-oh. We don't have a great angle on that stop line, but that's close. Again, you have to make sure the buggy comes to a complete stop before that last line. If it goes past that last line, it is a DQ. But there are the judges are down there. There are cameras on this. This will all be reviewed later. For now, we have the time. It is an unofficial time because, again, those decisions are made later. But it is something to note that Pika A's time, a 241.09, currently stands at the top.
And it's wild, though. It's a little uncharacteristic of Pike, right? Potentially... Failing a drop test, not making a 5-second. And of all the teams, you think of them as one of the most disciplined, regimented.
Yeah, it's been, you know, I think they've had, you know, again, it's up and down year after year. And you know, the thing, I think COVID has changed things at Carnegie Mellon and all schools, really. And especially just being an alum of a Greek organization and hearing from Greek organizations, recruitment has been tough. Kind of that stability that you have year after year has been tough. I think, again, there's an episode of the podcast, Will, where you talked to Juju Nieto, who was Pika's A-team driver last year and won the men's heat, talking about some of the changes in the organization and some of... You know, trying to build that level of consistency, and I think they're getting there. But there's definitely, again, I think there's maybe a bit of that loss in institutional knowledge from time to time. So
Yeah, and we see these times here. Pika A on top. SDC B going to be rolling here. And like you mentioned, a candidate that they're often sometimes 1-2 with themselves, SDC. So they're out there. They're going to be going up against CIAB 241.09, the time to beat with that. Going to go ahead and just introduce the rosters here. CIAB, the driver is Audrey Young on Hill 1. It is Audi Lynn. Hill 2 is Baron Selick. Hill 3, Pauline Zhuang. Hill 4, Anna Prouty. And Hill 5, Alyssa Yang. And then we are going to have SDC, Women's B, not Men's A. I hope not. driver will be Elizabeth McBride. Hill 1, Aaron Magid. Hill 2, Ellen Angwin. Hill 3, Farron Winiger. Hill 4, Cecilia Dietrich. And Hill 5, Tippy Lee.
And I think this is going to be an incredibly exciting heat. I think in a normal year, you might not see CIAB and SDCB paired up against each other. I don't know how close this is going to be. These are probably the two fastest women's teams, like the women's organizations, SDC and CIA. And like we said, SDCB has been a top two team in the past. CIAB, just looking at their C and D team times this year, are also going to be up there. So this is going to be a very exciting heat.
I think one thing that's interesting too, CIA.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready, set.
241.09, the time to beat. SDCB coming back after their disqualification last year on a bit of a revenge tour. Looking to take home some hardware.
And it's SDCB getting up first, it looks like. Here with a Hill 1 time of...
I have it at
21 seconds, which is a crazy B time, which makes me really curious what their A time is going to be.
And here we go. Shove as well.
Right there.
Yeah, this is going to be exciting. Now SDC knows how to make their buggies roll, so I don't know that we'll see it pass. But Kingfisher is no slouch either.
Yeah, there will definitely be some pressure in the back hills. You might think, though.
Absolutely, I would think that CIAB, if they don't pass, is going to be seeing SDC the entire time on the back hills.
They seem to be staying pretty consistent here.
A 103 stop sign for SDC, a 105 for CIA.
Bice taking that transition flag, keeping it a little wide, just outside of the lines.
Yeah, and CIA maintaining that distance, the ever-important shoot turn.
Here they come in. Bice taking nice and smooth, staying wide. Kingfisher on the inside, taking it nice and tight, trying to make up some distance here, coming in nice and close into Hill 3.
And
Pusher's ready to get him.
And this is going to be thrilling.
Here we go.
Hills right here. Looking at these two neck and neck.
Great.
This is going to be all about the pushers. Who has the gusto? Who has the energy? And we got a pass right there by CIAB. Neck and neck. They are just barely ahead as we get nearly simultaneous transitions from Hill 3 to 4. Both teams standing there staring at the Jumbotron, cheering them on. Who has that push? SDCB now pulling maybe a nose ahead, but is is so tight. This is going to come down to the final hill.
This comes down to Hill 5. You know, some teams stack the front hills, some teams stack the back hills, some teams mix it all up. We'll see who's got the better Hill 5 here, because they're going in together.
And there we go. The transition together. This is about as close as you can get. This is racing, folks. CIAB pulling a bit ahead right there. It was neck and neck. Let's see. Do they have the little bit of boost to get across the finish line?
And remember,
important with something this close, you want to have the hand on the push bar. SDCB making up a little bit of ground right here. I don't know if it's going to be enough. CIAB looking to come across, hand on the push bar. 239. SDC just behind.
What a race.
Then shockingly, not a very competitive auction for the lead truck yesterday, so I'll say the Buggy Alumni Association auctions off seats in the lead truck to raise money and lets people see the race from an up-close view. So in that lead truck is my wife, Yeon, who is also a CIA alum.
Nice. What a...
WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. I'm Andrew Larson, computer science graduate from 2005 and former general manager of WRCT. And I have the pleasure of being here today with M. Chanel Smith, who is the associate dean and executive director for the Center of
that
Student Diversity and Inclusion. And most
coming out of the shoot
today,
that might
the
be
voice
what cost
of
going
gun
to Hill 3 there.
Our buggy races. Say hello to our listening audience.
Hi, everyone. Good morning.
So I'd love to ask you a couple of questions about buggy, but most importantly, in your role as the associate director, right, could you tell us a little bit about what belonging and inclusion means to you?